Pull up a chair. I want to take you back to a September afternoon in 1935. Cleveland, Ohio. The grandstands are packed shoulder to shoulder, 100,000 people leaning against the fence, and the air over the field smells like castor oil and hot dogs and cut grass. Somewhere out past the pylons, an engine is winding up to a scream, and the airplane making that noise isn't some sleek little factory racer built by a company with money to burn. It's a high-wing cabin monoplane, a four-seater, the kind of airplane a family man might fly to Sunday dinner. And it is about to beat everything in the sky. This is Radio Hangar. I'm Taildragger, and you're listening to The Hangar, where we do our best to make you feel like you're standing in a drafty old hangar with a thermos of bad coffee, listening to somebody who was there. Today we're talking about a man named Benny Howard and an airplane he called Mr. Mulligan. And before we're through, I'm going to tell you about the only airplane in history to win the two biggest air races in America in the same year. Then I'm going to tell you what it cost him. Now, before we get rolling, let me tell you who keeps the lights on around here. Today's show is brought to you by AviationSoul.com. Aviation Challenge coins for every milestone in flight. Your first solo, your private pilot certificate, instrument rating, commercial, all the way up. If you've earned it, they've got a coin for it. And here's the thing about a challenge coin. It's a little piece of metal you can put in a fella's hand and say, "This is what I did." Every coin tells a story. Go find yours at AviationSoul.com. All right, let's get into it. To understand Benny Howard, you've got to understand the world he came up in. Back when avgas was cheap and airspace was free, the 1920s and 30s were what we now call the golden age of aviation. And it truly was golden in the sense that everything was still up for grabs. Nobody had settled how fast an airplane could go, or how high, or how far. Every year, somebody would strap a bigger engine to a smaller airframe and go chase a record, and half the time it worked, and half the time it killed them. The great proving ground for all of this was air racing, and there were two races that mattered more than all the rest. The first was the Bendix Trophy. The Bendix was a transcontinental dash. You'd take off out west, usually from Los Angeles, and you'd fly flat out across the whole country to Cleveland, racing the clock and the weather and the mountains, all of it. The Bendix rewarded the airplane that could go far and go fast and keep going. It was an endurance test at full throttle. The second was the Thompson Trophy. Now the Thompson was the opposite animal entirely. That was closed course pylon racing. You'd fly laps around a course marked by pylons stuck in the ground, low and tight, pulling hard around every turn, with the crowd close enough to see your face. The Thompson rewarded raw speed and nerve. It was fast, it was dangerous, and pilots died flying it. Here's the thing you need to understand. Those two races wanted two completely different airplanes. The Bendix wanted a long-legged cruiser that could haul fuel across a continent. The Thompson wanted a stubby little bullet that could turn on a dime. No sane designer would try to build one airplane to do both. Benny Howard built one airplane to do both. Now here's where it gets interesting. Benny Howard wasn't a rich man, and he wasn't a factory. He was a working pilot. He flew the line for United Airlines, hauling passengers and mail for a paycheck, and he built airplanes in his spare time with whatever he could scrape together. He'd been at it since the 20s, building little racers, and he had a naming convention that tells you everything you need to know about the man. He called his airplanes DGA, that stood for Damn Good Airplane. I'll let you decide whether that's confidence or a sense of humor. Around here we figure it's both. The airplane that changed his life was the DGA-6, and he gave it a name. He called it Mr. Mulligan. Now, Mr. Mulligan didn't look like a racer at all. That was the whole trick of it. It was a big, tall, high-wing cabin monoplane, room for four people inside. It looked like something you'd use to fly the family to the lake, but Benny Howard and his partner, a brilliant engineer named Gordon Israel, had designed it around one idea that was years ahead of everybody else. They built it to fly high, and they built it to fly clean. Most racers of that day were low-flying screamers. They stayed down in the thick air where the engine made good power, and they just muscled through it. Benny had a different notion. He figured if you could climb up high up where the air is thin, the airplane would slip through that thin air with a lot less drag. You'd trade some engine power for a whole lot less resistance, and you'd come out ahead. Fly high, throttle back to something the engine could live with for hours, and let the thin air do the work. To make that pay off, the airplane had to be clean, smooth, no struts hanging out in the wind, no lumps and bumps to snag the air, and it had to carry enough fuel to cross the country without stopping. So Mr. Mulligan was big precisely because it had to swallow all that gasoline and still cut a clean line through the sky. It was, in other words, an airliner's brain in a racer's body. And a lot of what Benny and Gordon figured out flying that airplane, flying high and clean and efficient, is exactly how your airliners cross the country today. Up high, throttled back, sipping fuel in the thin air. They were living in the future about 15 years early, so, 1935, let me set the scene. The Bendix that year started out in the small hours of the morning in California. It was a rough night. Weather across the route was ugly, thunderstorms and rain, and low clouds strung out across the mountains and the plains. Several of the hot low-flying racers, the ones built for the Thompson, they either couldn't make the distance or got beat up by the weather. But Mr. Mulligan just climbed up over the top of a lot of it and settled into that long, high, efficient cruise, hour after hour, across the whole dark continent. And it came down to the wire. When Mr. Mulligan crossed the finish line at Cleveland and they totaled up the times, Benny Howard had won the Bendix Trophy by a margin so thin it hardly seems real. He beat the second-place airplane, a beautiful racer flown by a fellow named Roscoe, by a matter of seconds. Seconds. After flying across an entire continent through the night, you could fly that route 100 times and never finish that close again. But Benny wasn't done, because the Thompson was still to come right there at Cleveland a few days later. And remember, the Thompson is the other kind of race. Low, tight pylon laps. Everything Mr. Mulligan was not built to do. This tall cabin cruiser, this flying gas tank, was going to go turn laps against purpose-built pylon bullets with the crowd right there against the fence, and Benny Howard won that too. Let that sink in. The same airplane, the same week, won the great transcontinental endurance race and the great closed course speed race. The Bendix and the Thompson both in 1935. No airplane had ever done it before. And here's the part that gives me chills every time. No airplane has ever done it since. Not once, in all the years the two trophies were both flown. Mr. Mulligan stands alone.
Think about what that means. A line pilot with a day job, building airplanes on the side, named them all damn good airplane just to needle the establishment, and he beat every well-funded factory racer in America at both of their own games with one machine. That's not just a win, that's a man proving a point about how airplanes ought to be built. Fly high, fly clean, fly smart. And the whole industry eventually agreed with him. Now, I'd love to leave you right there, on top of the world, with the crowd roaring and the trophies gleaming. But you've been flying long enough to know this airplane business has a way of collecting on its debts the very next year. 1936, the Bendix, again Benny Howard and his wife, are flying Mr. Mulligan west to east, racing across the country the same as before. His wife's name was Maxine, though everybody called her Mike, and she was right there in the cabin with him. That was the kind of marriage it was. They flew together. Somewhere out over New Mexico, high up and going fast, a propeller blade let go. Now I want you to understand what that is, because it's about the worst thing that can happen to you up there. A propeller spinning at speed is holding tremendous force and balance. When a piece of a blade departs, all that balance is gone in an instant. The engine, the whole front of the airplane, tries to tear itself apart from the vibration. It happens faster than you can think. Mr. Mulligan came out of the sky and crashed in the New Mexico high desert. And here's the thing, they lived, both of them. Benny and Mike Howard both survived that crash, out in the middle of nowhere, but Benny was hurt bad. He lost a leg. The airplane, the one and only Mr. Mulligan, the only machine ever to win both trophies, was destroyed, scattered across the desert floor. That's the payoff, and it's a hard one. The Golden Age was exactly like that. Glory and grief riding in the same cockpit. These people flew right at the edge of what was known, and the airplane didn't care how many trophies were on your mantle. When the propeller let go over New Mexico, it let go.
But I don't want to end on the wreckage, because that's not really the end of the story, and it's not what the Golden Age was about, because that same 1936 Bendix race, the one where Mr. Mulligan went down, was won by a woman named Louise Thaden, first woman to win the Bendix outright, flying against the men straight up. The race went on, the torch got passed, and Benny Howard, one leg and all, he didn't quit aviation. He went on to become a respected test pilot and engineer. He kept his hand in for decades. The desert took his airplane and it took part of his body, but it did not take the man. And you can still stand next to Mr. Mulligan today. Not the original, that's gone. But a faithful, flying reproduction was built years later, and it's the star of the show at the Historic Aircraft Restoration Museum near St. Louis, tall and proud and painted up just like the day it won it all. You can walk right up to it and see with your own eyes the airplane that beat everybody twice. That's what I love about this game. We don't just read about it, we rebuild it, and we fly it again, and we let the next generation stand next to it and get the bug. My thanks on this one to the good folks at the Historic Aircraft Restoration Museum and to the records kept by the National Aeronautic Association who've minded the Bendix and Thompson histories all these years. If you want to see a picture of Mr. Mulligan, and you should, we'll have a little more about today's story over at RadioHangar.com. Benny Howard called his airplanes damn good airplanes. Turned out he was telling the truth. This is Tail Dragger, keep the shiny side up, and I'll see you next time.